We do not want to follow Western political models. We will find our own Chinese model.
Criticism and defense of China's plan to scrap presidential term limits. It's Tuesday, February 27th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, seeking parameters for talks with North Korea. A senior Republican lawmaker speaks with VOA about China and North Korea. India's mobile food bank, a flushable pregnancy test, and new body armor. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China is hitting back at criticism of Sunday's terse announcement of a proposal by the Communist Party's Central Committee to do away with presidential term limits in the Constitution, extending indefinitely the tenure of 64-year-old Xi Jinping. The matter is to be taken up by the parliament when it convenes March 5th to confirm Mr. Xi's second term. One writer on the Weibo social media platform likened the move to the perpetual Kim dynasty in North Korea. In an editorial, the state-run Global Times said the change doesn't mean that the Chinese president will have a lifelong tenure. It played down the significance of the proposal, citing multiple adjustments to the institution of the presidency. It argued that removing the term limit can improve the leadership of the Communist Party, adding that the party continues to succeed in solving power shifts in a law-abiding and orderly manner. Gordon Holden is a political science professor and director of the China Institute at the University of Alberta, Canada. He tells VOA's Victor Beatty he views the significance of removing the term limit of 2 5-year terms as huge.
China's had a collective leadership since the time of Deng Xiaoping, although he was the paramount leader. But he was very careful, that is, Deng Xiaoping, to put in place a series of what might be called even checks and balances, whereby there was a series of top leaders who shared power to a certain extent, but also were limited in the time in power to 2 5-year terms. This amendment, which will with certainty be passed by the National People's Congress, means that Xi Jinping will be is almost certain to be the supreme leader of China indefinitely and well beyond 2023 when his second term will be up.
This is being greeted with not much surprise. Why?
Well, I think it's because the president, Xi Jinping, has been consolidating his power very effectively. He has sidelined rivals. He's appointed loyalists. He's remade the high officers, or at least appointed most of the senior generals in the People's Liberation Army, the PLA. He has put his stamp on the country in a way that has not occurred either since Deng Xiaoping or Mao Zedong. So he's in a rare category of leader. He's also written his thinking, his views, in a fashion, into the Constitution. It's on every front, even the media. You see a lot of very flattering, laudatory commentary on what he does everywhere he goes. This is very much a supreme leader.
Is this all about Xi Jinping, or is this about a turn that China's taking?
I think it's a bit of both. I think that China has taken a turn towards what we might even say its own historical roots. This is not a country that has a long history of constitutional rule by any means. Of course, he's the one who will benefit from this, but it's also, I think, something that he's been quite outspoken about, and other Chinese people following his lead. We do not want to follow Western political models. We will find our own Chinese models that base us on our own history and situation. Pretty clear about that. Pretty clear about rejecting the idea that they're going to evolve into a Western democratic political system.
He's being likened to an emperor for life. Do you agree with that?
By emperor, you mean unchallengeable and unchallenged leadership with no end in sight. Yes, it's not inappropriate. Of course, that won't be his title, but again, it's by leaders whose only term of office was their longevity that China has been governed for most of its very long history. And so in that sense, he's square within the Chinese history, but very much outside what would be seen as constitutional norms by Western standards, and very much outside the idea that China would inevitably morph into or adapt to Western ideas to a certain extent of term limits and constitutional rule, as has happened in Japan and South Korea, as has happened in Taiwan and a few other places in Asia.
Gordon Holden said in the short term, such a change would mean stability for China, but challenging in the long run in terms of infusing leadership with new ideas and allowing the Chinese system, including the economy, to evolve. Meanwhile, Mr. Xi's top economic advisor, Liu He, will visit the United States this week for talks expected to include trade, as President Donald Trump considers ways to achieve a more balanced trade relationship. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on VOANews.com. Korean Peace Olympics, and on hopeful note, EU prepares new Myanmar sanctions over Rohingya crackdown. Hong Kong Catholics condemn China-Vatican deal. Jakarta's Christian ex-governor challenges blasphemy conviction. Amid Rohingya crisis, largely business as usual in Myanmar. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. You'll also find them on our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. South Korean President Moon Jae-in on Monday called on the United States to lower the threshold for talks with North Korea after a North Korean delegation told him Pyongyang is open to talks with Washington. President Moon, during a meeting with the visiting Chinese deputy premier, also said North Korea should show it is willing to denuclearize. He said it is important both parties sit down face-to-face quickly. Sunday, on the sidelines of the closing ceremonies of the Winter Olympics, the South Korean leader held a meeting with the controversial head of the North Korean delegation, Kim Young-chol, a senior official of the ruling Workers' Party. The White House released a statement saying, "We will see if Pyongyang's message represents the first steps along the path to denuclearization." Meanwhile, it said the United States and the world must continue to make clear that North Korea's nuclear and missile programs are a dead end. Tufts University Korean Studies Associate Professor Sung-Yun Lee tells VOA even if the two sides sit down, they have different agendas.
The problem is North Korea wants to talk about disarmament, mutual disarmament, and peace treaty, getting the U.S. out of South Korea. The U.S. wants to talk about denuclearization, to which North Korea has pledged that it would abide by all these agreements going back all the way to 25 years ago. General Kim Young-chol, the former spy master, we know is implicated in North Korea's deadly attacks on South Korea in 2010, which killed 50 South Korean citizens. Also, the massive cyber attack on Sony Pictures Entertainment in 2014, which inflicted on that company hundreds of millions of dollars in damages and also self-censorship. So by dispatching General Kim, North Korea's message to Seoul and Washington is very clear, which is, we call the tune, and the tune can go from placido, peace, serenity, to molto agitato in a heartbeat.
Lee says while the latest sanctions increase pressure on the Kim regime, they still don't rise to the level of pressure that has been placed on other rogue nations.
They are sweeping, but not really radical. It's an exaggeration for President Trump to say these are the toughest ever. In terms of the number of designations, 55, now U.S. designations of North Korean entities, individuals, and agencies, and third country parties. This takes North Korea sanctions to about 260, 270 designations, which is fairly high, but still below U.S. designations of Iranian entities, Syrian and Russian entities. So it's a small step forward, but again, the problem is that sanctions enforcement has always been lax and probably will remain lax in the coming months.
Sung-Yun Lee believes North Korea came out the big winner, at least in terms of image, from the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics.
For South Korea, I think it was a wonderful success. Of course, North Korea jazzed up the games considerably by sending a delegation of athletes and probably spiked up revenue for the South Korean government. Certainly more tourists and visitors, one can imagine, came to the South thanks to North Korea's participation. But I think North Korea gained far more than anyone else just by participating in the games and using this world stage as a ploy to use the carrot and exude a softer image and to paint the United States further into a corner as the petulant, warlike party.
The North Korean delegation met Monday with a security advisor to South Korea's Blue House before returning home today. The two Koreas are to meet today to discuss North Korea's participation in the Winter Paralympics in Pyeongchang, March 9th through the 18th. Happening now in Asia, police in Dubai say drowning was the cause of death for famed Bollywood actress Shridevi Kapoor. Earlier reports said she had died of a heart attack Saturday in Dubai. The 54-year-old actress was considered by many to be the first female superstar in India's male-dominated film industry. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. California Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher is an outspoken critic of China and feels North Korea's closest ally should do more to rein in Pyongyang's missile and nuclear programs. A senior member of the House Foreign Relations Committee and International Relations Committee, Rohrabacher shared his opinions on the region with VOA Mandarin reporter Peggy Chong.
We have seen the manifestation of psychotic behavior on the part of the leadership of North Korea. That person is part of a family that has murdered the other family members. They've murdered so many people. Now he's bandying about with a nuclear weapon. That's unacceptable. And we have got to make sure that that personality, which seems really strange to a lot of people, is not in some way get us into a nuclear war where either people in Korea or Japan or the United States are killed by the millions, or where the United States would then retaliate and kill hundreds of thousands or millions of people in North Korea. That would be a horrible thing. So our number one goal has to be to try to bring peace or find the formula for peace on the Korean Peninsula.
Right now, do you think the sanctions are working? And how do you think about what is the best way to solve this issue? And what is your red line for military options?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have got to, first of all, make it very clear that we are on the side of the people of North Korea. And also, we are in favor of a reunification of Korea, because the Korean people are in North Korea and the Korean people are in South Korea. And of course, you can't have reunification without some acceptance of the democratic process and respect for people's rights, which they have nothing in North Korea about. So we've got to make sure our goal and first of working is send that message to the people of North Korea. Our hands are stretched out in friendship to you. And to the people of South Korea, let's work together and do something to put these people together. But I'm afraid that their leader is he's mentally unstable, I believe, that he's mentally unstable. So we've got to, I believe, begin a covert campaign in North Korea to get people to accept the idea of reunification in a more democratic process, where the people of North Korea would be able to choose their own leaders rather than having the Communist Party ram a leader down their throat.
Do you think that the Chinese and the Russians have done enough to help with this crisis? And also, what kind of more of actions that you would like them to take, respectively?
I don't think either the Chinese or the Russians have done as much as I would like them to have done. But with Russia, the United States has been in a very belligerent attitude in dealing with Russia, and I wish we could expect them to just do us favors after we have been very belligerent to them. Maybe that's a good incentive for us now to relook at our relations and say, hey, maybe we should work together on things like North Korea. Hopefully that would ring true in the United States as well as in Moscow. But in terms of the Chinese, I don't think the Chinese have done anything. I think the Chinese are providing cover for this communist regime in the north. I don't believe they could even have a missile system like they've got without Chinese help. The Chinese should understand, and the North Koreans should understand, that if indeed this guy keeps shooting rockets and missiles over Japan, for example, the Japanese are going to want the ability to retaliate if one of those missiles would hit Japan. So this may end up having Japan become a nuclear power again. Is that what China wants? Is that what North Korea wants? No, they shouldn't. That's terribly would be really against their interests. So we should be basically telling them, be realistic here. If you don't, we're going to end up with a nuclear Japan, which is what you don't want. And we should start by supporting any elements in North Korea that we can, with providing them information and providing them some kind of support systems that will help them get rid of their oppressor.
U.S. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher speaking with VOA Mandarin reporter Peggy Chong. You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
News alert from VOA Asia. Protesters from the South Korean opposition party, Liberty Korea, held anti-North Korea rallies to protest the North Korean head delegate's attendance at the closing ceremony of the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. Talks are being held about the North's inclusion in the upcoming Paralympic Games. Visit VOA 60 for more on this and other stories, and stop by VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, India's financial capital, Mumbai, has a food delivery system that involves 5,000 lunchbox carriers who distribute over 100,000 home-cooked meals to office workers with an efficiency studied by some of India's top business schools. Anjana Pasricha tells us these men are now using their food distribution skills to deliver leftover food to the hungry.
This minivan stands at a midpoint in Mumbai, called the Roti or Food Bank, ready to move whenever a call comes, from people hosting marriage parties to rich households or restaurants. The mission of the Roti Bank, founded by the city's well-known lunchbox carriers or Dabbawalas, is to pick up leftover food and distribute it to the poor in slums and on the streets. Subhash Talikar launched the Roti Bank after witnessing two dramatically different scenarios as he and his colleagues lugged lunchboxes from homes to offices across the city.
We saw that rich people throw away their leftover food, and we saw the contrasting picture where people slept hungry on footpaths, bridges, outside rail stations.
The appeal by Mumbai's Dabbawalas to give them food that would have been thrown away has quickly won traction, partly due to their impeccable reputation for distributing food efficiently. Jayavanti Thakkar, a resident of a luxury high-rise, called them on her birthday after reading about their project in a newspaper.
It is not easy to trust all organizations. When I came to know that they give the food themselves, then I became confident. This work must be carried forward.
She and her friends have vowed not to allow any food to go waste. The work has gathered momentum since December after a former police commissioner donated this minivan because picking up large quantities of food on a cycle was a challenge. Talikar says in a city where a party is always on, they get over 20 calls daily.
On a day, we give food to 400 to 500 people, and on weekends, it goes up to 1,000. Having this van has made the numbers grow substantially.
The food bank has 200 volunteers. Although Mumbai's food bank distributes only a fraction of the millions of tons of food that is thrown away in the world, the initiative is a step toward bridging the gap between waste and hunger. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, Mumbai.
This news from VOA Asia, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is calling for increased humanitarian access in the Rakhine state of Myanmar, condemning the violence against Rohingya Muslims. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, taking an at-home pregnancy test is stressful enough, but users also have to contend with how to discreetly dispose of the test and its results. Now there's Leah, a pregnancy test that can safely disappear with a flush of a toilet. VOA's Tina Trin reveals results of her look at the story.
Bethany Edwards and her coworkers spend a lot of time with pregnancy tests.
We all peed on a lot of different things.
Edwards and her co-founder have created Leah, a new and improved pregnancy test.
We've invented the first flushable, biodegradable pregnancy test, and it's FDA cleared, so we're really excited about that.
Like traditional pregnancy tests, Leah analyzes urine for the presence of pregnancy hormone HCG and claims a 99% accuracy rate. But unlike those tests, it's made of paper instead of plastic.
We're really bringing together, a solution that is better for women, but also better for the planet.
Its creators say Leah breaks down like toilet paper and can be flushed in standard flow sewer or septic systems.
And we really had to develop our own coatings, proprietary coatings, to allow the paper and the material to hold up in use, but also be able to break down quickly after you're done. You want something that has rigidity and structure, but then after you're done with it, doesn't, and is able to become flimsy and separate in water.
A flushable test also means the experience can remain private.
Lots of women tell their stories about, hiding pregnancy tests in trash cans, taking them in public restrooms.
I think that a discreet pregnancy test can empower women, empower people to be able to take a test without worrying about outside interference. And that has the potential to further engage them with the reproductive health care that they need after that.
Cost is another important factor.
Oftentimes I hear that pregnancy tests can be expensive. Patients who have poorer access to reproductive health care services, cost can be a barrier.
Leah will be available in the third quarter of 2018 and sell for between $7 and $8. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Kevlar body armor saves lives, and the high-end vests can even stop armor-piercing rounds. But that kind of protection comes at the cost of added heavy weight. Now, a Czech Republic university is using ceramics that bring the weight of safety way down. VOA's Kevin Enix weighs in on the details.
Getting the highest levels of protection out of any body armor requires the addition of heavy steel or ceramic plates, and that can add as much as 30 kilograms of weight to the armor. But Czech researchers say their new ceramic material can cut that weight by as much as 30%.
Our aim is to produce, using commercially accessible ceramic materials, an armor with the best possible hardness and ballistic qualities that can easily be ramped up for mass production.
The Czech team has cut the weight by experimenting with all kinds of plastic and ceramic alloys.
Our ceramic ballistic protection is about 2 millimeters thinner than other commercial armor, and that keeps the weight down. It also costs about the same as other similar products.
Not only is the new material lighter, but the team says it provides more protection than a steel plate.
This is the steel plate sample, which was shot by the projectile with a hardened steel core, and you can see that the bullet punctured it. You can see through it.
In comparison, the new ceramic plate is hardly touched.
This sample was shot with the same projectile with hardened steel core, but instead of the steel, we used ceramic. The whole energy went into the ceramic, and you can see that the aluminum pad has only a small print.
The university team hopes to incorporate the product into personal and vehicle armor. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find our programs on many places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Also on the radio, like U-Radio of Hatay University. 101.25 on your FM dial at Hatay University in Thailand. We thank everyone there who is listening today and wherever you happen to be hearing our program. You can also find us streaming on VOA Asia Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. That's a great way to get in touch with us. Also by email, voaasia@voanews.com. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Jimmy Cook, managing editor, Diane Gao, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and David Bird on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're all in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.